level, then those patients, we try to meet them in the places where, you know, there's general permission to see them. But overall, though, it was a known etiquette that you go visit the shiyukh and not to expect them, you know, to have some, you know, to get together and invite that scholar to your community. It wouldn't be the first optimal choice. Now, in our case, in our times, it may be it's better, and if there's obliging wishes on both ends, you know, the sheikh or scholar is able to, then in our times, because of darura, we have this other level that we are in. But obviously, if our levels were higher, then inshallah, we would be going to visit the scholars and taking from them. And one of the wisdom, there's many wisdom there, of course, but one of the wisdoms there is that, imagine if the sheikh is coming to you. First of all, it's a new place. It's not his environment to take control of. So if something happens, let's say amongst the attendants, someone is, you know, speaks, you know, in the midst of the gathering, they don't know the adab. Let's say some, there's always going to be a mix of people in any of these gatherings at different levels of understanding. If someone is unruly or even just outspoken when they shouldn't be in the middle of a gathering, then this scholar is not going to be that comfortable, as comfortable. If he was at someone's turf, he could do what he wishes, and everyone would understand that he has to maintain control of the entire area so that everyone benefits. Now, if he didn't speak up and the scholar didn't address this, then everyone suffers. So when he's visiting a town, he would be apprehensive to do so, because then these people at different levels, some might get offended and not understand that the sheikh has a right to do that. So, and they might say, they might have thoughts like, well, you know, why is this scholar coming into our town, our area, and giving us a peace of mind, astaghfirullah, or something like that. So, I mean, they will still do so to the best of their ability, so that the entire majlis does not suffer. That's always the prerequisite, is the preference is for the whole crowd over keeping silent for the sake of not offending that one person. For instance, that's a principle that is used. You know, the scholars will say, for instance, let's say in a masjid, there happens to be someone who's very unruly, who gets upset and is outspoken in terms of after prayers, let's say, and maybe he has some kind of illness and he can't control his verbiage, so he just lets loose with his tongue, criticizing everyone. Maybe they weren't all in straight rows. You know, sometimes people have this problem, and they start taking out their, addressing their grievances of what's going on in the majlis out loud, which of course is not the other, it's not the appropriate way to go about it. You would just tell the imam or someone quietly, and the imam has to address it. But anyway, let's say in that situation, after a majlis in the masjid itself, the sheikh would have to speak up, because, and even if this is a visiting scholar, because then the whole majlis suffers rather than just that one person being offended. So the ruling is for the whole majlis over this one person's might get hurt. And plus, that person can be spoken to privately. Unfortunately, the sheikh would have to address it publicly, since he addressed everyone publicly and spoke up publicly. Then the corollary to address that and to neutralize it has to be done publicly in front of the whole majlis as well. So there are certain rulings like that. So anyway, you can ask. There was nothing outrageous or anything that happened at the last gathering, but I was surprised at someone's basically, I think they were wanting the meal before the session or to pray even, and then get on with the meal. I believe they were hungry. I found out later they apologized. But anyway, that's why it's just an example of how it is very crucial. I remember I was happy with the whole outcome because it allowed us this opportunity to learn from these experiences. But, you know, that it's something I used to say to Sheikh Muhammad, whenever things like this occur, you know, anything that is happening, when someone who has more knowledge is before us, anything that occurs, you know, if it needs to be, he will weigh the pros and cons and whether he's supposed to publicly address it or not. So if he is, then it benefits everyone. And so alhamdulillah for the entire occurrence anyway, because we all learn from such occurrences, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. But obviously the ideal is to know these matters, these etiquette matters, before we go into especially a session of dhikr when we're hoping that the angels are accompanying us, inshallah ta'ala. So chivalry can be achieved through service, and as we said, especially, it's a big portion of the Shabbi way, alhamdulillah. And then Imam Junaid, rahimahullah, actually said, serve your brothers, then apologize that you haven't done more, that you haven't done enough. And don't remind them of your favors. This is part of the etiquette. So basically, it's our job when we do a favor to forget about it. And as we know, the dunyawi aspect of this, the people of the dunya, they love to rub it in. They love to remind people, astaghfirullah, this is not our way. Because why are we doing it in the first place? We're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're hoping that our sins of the past are forgiven through this. And we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us this favor on the real day when favors will be sought, where he overlooks our past grievances. So this is all, when we look at the niyyah as such, then we won't think about it. Why would we even need to remind someone? It was a gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even gave us the ability to do so. So, and then in terms of errors, it's an etiquette, part of the etiquette to make ourselves, we've discussed this in the past, to make ourselves responsible for errors. Don't always look for someone to blame. Actually, don't ever look for someone to blame. As they say, the buck stops here. Just take blame. Of course, not if there's a shari'i punishment, not for something that there's a shari'i punishment. We don't say, oh, I'm the one who did this and that, and just so someone else doesn't get blamed, because we don't want to set an example as such if it becomes a shari'i punishment. But for all of the things that human beings,